to the podcast. Today, I'm joined once again by everyone's favorite hater, my good friend, Joseph Up the Arse. You may know him better as Mr. I Hate Your Club on Twitter.
What's up, bitches?
And we're back. Week one's in the can. Lots of exciting results. Good action to the first weekend of the Premier League. And kind of the kickoff weekend for most of the major leagues in and around Europe, with the exception of, well, the German and the Italian leagues, but really, who watches those? No, I do. But the Premier League is up and running. It's given us what we've all been craving. You know, I think we've all got our fix. We got a whole lot of drama, a whole lot of action. And
A lot of goals. That was nice.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. So, looking back at the weekend, it was definitely all sorts of action. Some, like you said, Joseph, there were plenty of goals. Some from unfamiliar places. New players making their mark on the Premier League. And teams that aren't known for being prolific goal scorers kind of really making an impact.
Yeah, so, up until today we had Fulham and Swansea sitting top of the table with...
Perched.
Plus five goal differential. Yeah. Both pulled off 5-0 wins on the weekend.
That was quite impressive.
A little bit surprised to see QPR get hammered at home.
You were surprised to see QPR get hammered?
Hammered? Yeah, I mean, I don't expect much from them, although I think they bought, like, I don't know, 12 players.
Tons. I don't know. Are they still signing more?
Yeah, I think they signed Carvalho on loan today.
I just heard something about that as well.
Yeah, like, they keep signing. Well, yeah. They let five go in, so I guess they decided they needed a defender.
I suppose so.
So I'm sure that'll work out great for them.
Yeah, well... You know, they should have been relegated last season if Bolton were so.
Did you even watch the highlights of the West Ham Villa game at all?
Yeah, I watched
really?
The goal. I saw the goal. Well, I mean, I watched the review show, so that's about it.
Yeah.
Nah.
Fat Sam, so I kind of skipped even bothering to watch that. Although I was kind of surprised to see what the nil-nil game was this weekend. It wouldn't have been one that I picked beginning of the weekend.
You wouldn't have picked that one.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have picked that one. Our mighty Arsenal at home to Sunderland. Not exactly. I mean, there's kind of a lot of what you expected, I would think. I don't know. Martin O'Neill.
Who's going to try to shut down passing lanes and frustrate the hell out of us. And I think it worked.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that I believe... I believe Wenger commented on it accurately after the match, saying, you know, if you don't really get something early, they're really going to make it difficult for you, because the longer the match goes nil-nil, the more defensive he's going to play and the more he's going to try to, you know, stop anything from happening and really play negative football. So
yeah, I mean, there was great spots. We had some bright spots in the match, but just nothing in the end result. You had Podolski near post when Theo put the ball in him. Maybe.
Yeah, there was a
didn't
chance.
Didn't happen.
But really, there weren't many clear-cut chances. There wasn't much that... I mean, there weren't... There, compared to what we have grown to expect from an Arsenal match, there were not nearly as many chances as you would have hoped for.
Yeah, it wasn't like the keeper had a... a blinder coming.
when the player comes to the Emirates.
But he wasn't on audition for a new club. So, but yeah, he wasn't putting under that much pressure.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things that he, I think it traditionally goes, the keeper has to have like a howler the week before or two against a different major team. And then they come to the Emirates and then put up the showing of a lifetime. I don't know how many times you see Yaskalainen and like, Al-Habsi and all those guys came. Funny, those are both Bolton. Well, and Wigan, right? Al-Habsi, Wigan now?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and even guys like Rob Green come and put up a great showing, you know. Rob fucking Green. You see the goal he let in?
Did you see all five?
there were plenty.
There were good goals in there, but there was a couple clusterfucks.
he's got really strong wrists, that Rob Green.
Yeah, he had a wonderful weekend against Swansea.
Yeah, but, you know, Fulham, I think, were the bigger surprise for me in that one. I mean, I know QPR getting talked doesn't surprise me that much. Fulham scoring five goals does.
Yeah, I think maybe the changes at Norwich has something to do with that, with the manager leaving.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to – I don't know what style they're playing. They played a great style last year. I don't know if that's going to stick around this year or not.
Right.
Defending seemed to be all they were trying to do this weekend. Other match, did you watch – did you enjoy the Newcastle Spurs match?
I will say that, yes, I did enjoy the Newcastle Spurs match. I didn't catch the entire match. I watched the entire second half and the end of the first half. It was, it was a good contest.
Why was Bale in the center?
Because he.
Oh, you know why? Because they don't have a striker for him to cross the damn ball to.
Yeah, send it to Defoe. But now, no, wait. Hold on. Wait, they have Shea Adebayor. You know the man who was taken.
They're in for 15 other players apparently within the next 9 days. So.
Yeah, and clearly, players like Fernando Llorente and Leandro Damião want to leave their respective clubs for a club of such stature.
No, they're putting in their biggest bid ever for Damião this week, tomorrow probably. It'll probably be announced by Saturday.
We'll see.
They're gonna have to throw a lot of money for that to come in.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. But I mean, and other than that, though, the result is. One that I can live with.
Yeah, Newcastle have a better squad than Spurs do. It at home, being at home, and they have a better squad.
Yeah.
Spurs, they have a really shit squad right now.
It's not terrible, I don't think, but it's very thin.
It's thin. It is. It's thin, and it looks like they're trying to upgrade, but like you said, who wants to be there?
I mean that we're seeing the direct results of that Champions League final, you know, bearing its implications, because they had Champions League football. I'm sure a few of those targets would be much more eager to go there.
And, absolutely.
And look at that. Like, I mean, they could have Eden Hazard instead of him being at Chelsea, in theory, yes. You know, things like that. So I mean, we're definitely seeing like that's something that's definitely going to affect the shape of the Premier League. Especially at the beginning, in terms of this, but for them, you know, the players coming in, like they just—it's why it's a joke, and that's why it's been so important for Arsenal to qualify, because like you really, it makes such a big difference when it comes to the acquisitions you can make if you can offer them, you know, football on the biggest stage. But I want to congratulate Spurs on another year that they will not go invincible.
Congrats!
There's another team. Who occasionally make a run and people start talking about. I believe 2 years ago, one of the most shit Manchester United teams I'd ever seen. Manchester United fans will tell you themselves. Even the Manchester United team that won the title 2 seasons ago,
right?
It's one of the worst teams to win a title, at least in recent years. They really weren't that good. It was like they won by default because everyone else fucking blew it.
Arsenal included.
Yes, very much so included, and it's a shame. Because if there was any year to win the league, it was 2010. So they won't be having any of those problems this year. Trying to emulate. The pressure's off their shoulders.
Because there was a standout performer this weekend.
Monday. We'll get to that. That was a Monday. What else did we have during the weekend? Anything else exciting?
We had the champions at home to Southampton, the newly promoted championship champions.
Yeah, that was an exciting match. It was an exciting match. I didn't get my hopes up. We were talking about this, and you said that you got excited. It was way too early, man. They scored those goals, and it was just like, man, there's like 30 minutes left. It's just there was
a lot of ha 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 fuckers on my timeline.
There, yeah, absolutely.
And I was one of them.
Well, I mean,
I enjoyed it happening.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoyed the 10 minutes. I didn't start boasting or bragging, but you know, I enjoyed it. By all means, and the good thing is, though, you know what? They came out. And they gave a good account of themselves, you know. Like I give them props for trying to make something happen. But you know, in the end, they didn't have enough.
City were pretty fortunate. I mean, the ball drops to Dzeko.
Oh, Dzeko was just standing there.
Right.
How many times you watch that replay? He's just sitting there. He's just standing there. He doesn't move. And the ball just falls to him. He kicks it in.
Yeah. So that was
pretty, son of a bitch.
They're pretty fortunate, of course. You know. The commentary, as soon as they go to commercial, or back to the studio, is, well, that's what champions do. Well, I'm not sure champions would have given up those two goals and been down either.
Right, but I mean, agreed. It never should have been that difficult, but it is what it is the thing.
I mean, even if you go back to earlier in the season, last season, City were much better defensively than they were last weekend.
Right, but it's the first week, you know. It's like we said, it's a little early to be making any judgment calls.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, that was at least for the last 2 years, their defense was pretty solid.
Right. No, exactly. They weren't they haven't been conceding very many goals as of late.
I mean, it wasn't 3-2 to Arsenal or 3-2 to United. It's a team being promoted. That's a little surprising.
And so other than that, Chelsea cruised to victory with a couple goals against a team that doesn't start playing until March is a comment I saw really today.
Yeah, about March.
Right. They don't really get serious until they're in serious relegation trouble.
Seems like Chelsea might have maybe bought a decent player, huh? Hazard looked good in that match.
Yeah, it's a little painful. It's a little painful because, you know, our constant link to him. But no, he looked good. He looked good today as well. At least in the beginning of the game, beginning of the match today.
Yeah, he gave basically two freebie penalties to Sausage Fingers himself.
And he's on pace for to earn 38 penalties this season.
You'd probably get him too.
Right. Something like that. I don't know. But it was such a dumb tackle by the defender too. It was just the Reading defender, I forget his name, whoever it was, it was a sloppy tackle. If any defender in my squad did that, I'd be livid because it was just so easy.
The one,
he's a trail leg. You left his leg hanging out there. It's like, oh, here, trip over this.
The one today, I'm talking about today. The one on Sunday was, he's not going towards goal.
Yeah.
He's going away from goal, and you still stick your foot out there again.
Geniuses here in the Premier League. But we did miss one result. There's one club that considers themselves title contenders who didn't have the greatest result.
Who would that be?
I believe they were the team from somewhere. Oh, Merseyside, I believe.
Blueside?
No. I'm not talking about the big club from Liverpool. I'm talking about LFC, Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, I watched that match later on after I knew the result. And, you know, in the first half, Liverpool, other than a fantastic shot, the first goal by West Brom. I mean, what a shot. No chance of being saved. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful shot.
That was a great goal.
You know, Liverpool could have been up three goals at that point, but Suarez, anti-scorer, I don't know what the hell to
Suarez
call him.
Is very good at putting shots on frame. He likes to go right at the keeper or off the post. It seems like one or the other.
It just seemed that, you know, he could use somebody else up there with him.
He could just use someone else's feet once he gets there, you know. He gets himself, it seems like no one gets into as many great goal-scoring chances as he does, yet
he just couldn't finish.
He can't finish it.
Must be a thing with Liverpool strikers.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, but...
At least I wouldn't be worried to have my girlfriend around.
He's never getting her pregnant, at least.
No, exactly.
He can't put it in.
Right.
Yeah, and in the second half, I mean, it was kind of a fortunate red card.
Yeah.
Especially what I watched was how far away from the play Phil Dowd was.
Well, come on. You expect him to have – this is his first match of the season. Look at his fitness, man. You think that guy – come on, he can't keep up with the run of
play. He was 30 yards behind the play. So unless the assistant, you know, made that call, I don't know how he could have made that call. But no worries. I'm happy with the result. Liverpool seemed to be in a little bit of shambles already.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, still. We'll give it still. You know, and I will go on the record to say that I think Liverpool will probably do slightly better than last season. I do think they'll be a little bit better. But, you know, it's just, you know, I don't mind seeing this to start, you know.
It's great. It's great that they looked poor.
They looked
in spot. But like I said, that first half, I mean, I think they actually played well.
I wasn't really watching it. I was at the pub, and we had the Arsenal match up on the big projector, and there was one screen, and we just kept laughing and turning, and seeing, because all of a sudden that second
half, there'd be a cheer.
It was just like a goal and then a goal, and we were just laughing, and one of the.
They got some bright spots. I mean, Lucas Beck is going to be a bright spot for them. Yeah, he looked good in midfield.
Yeah, he's a decent player.
Gerrard looked a little off.
Like we said, I mean, it's early to read into form and whatnot. And
but I hear they're going to get Sahin on loan, so they'll be all right.
Yeah, about that. But so let's get to the last result of the first weekend, so to speak. The Monday match was Everton at home to Manchester United.
With a couple of new signings.
Boasting their new signing. The new spokesman for Just For Men UK.
Looking sweet.
Robin Van Persie, man. Got it done good. He looked nothing like he did in Cologne, man.
I know. It's like a whole new dude.
It's a whole new dude.
Like dipped in paint.
Silver fox dipped in paint, man. It looks like a new man. I don't know about for you. I didn't get to watch most of the match. I did get to watch the last bit, but I got to watch some of the highlights. And all I did see was Fellaini bossed it all over. I mean, I had to be the guy with the standout performance of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, going by and through defenders even. He was just
He's a monster. One, and he always kills Arsenal. He always, like, I mean, even if we get a result, he's just a monster. There's no one, even when we had Cheeto Head, he couldn't cope with Sideshow Mel himself. You know,
he could push him right off the
nothing.
Ball.
Yeah, he's just a monster, and he went out and just destroyed.
And what Carrick is doing as the person marking him?
I don't know.
It seemed like it must have been a dream for him. He's like, all right, sweet.
There you go.
How about you hit this? How tall is he? 6'5"?
Six five.
Yeah, hit it right here.
6'4", 6'5".
You can't miss my head.
No. You can't miss his mob, dude. It looks like a microphone, like a boom or something.
It's just a target, you know.
Yep. There you go. Blocks out the sun, an eclipse. I don't know.
It was enjoyable, but...
Well, the result was enjoyable. The match, I mean...
It wasn't...
Well, here's the thing. There was always the dread that a certain Robin Van Judas might pop up and score a goal. And so I know... For a lot of Arsenal fans, there were a lot of nerves, you know, like a lot of nerves because, you know, something could happen at any time. And the last thing you wanted to see was it was great after the fact. Like once the match was over.
Yeah,
was
I didn't say anything.
Awesome.
That 1-0,
awesome.
I didn't say anything.
Well, you learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson from the day before. I didn't say anything. I just kept watching and enjoying it and hoping. And then 4 minutes goes on the board and you're like, oh, hell.
Yeah.
Where'd that four minutes come from?
Everyone was saying, oh, no, it's Fergie time. It'll be 5. So 4, I was actually a little bit relieved.
I was like, all right, standard.
Four.
There was a goal in 3 and 6 subs. That's 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was standard. It was correct.
Yeah, and but, you know, Everton with a great result. You mean, well, anyone beating Manchester United, it's a great result.
It's a great result.
And especially on the first day of the season, Man United didn't look too spectacular. You know, they looked a little disjointed. They didn't look...
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, this is the beginning, you know. It's hard to judge right now, but, you know.
Kagawa looked good. And
it's no surprise to me.
Needs time.
Yeah. Needs time. They all need time to bet in. It's going to be a transition period. I mean, it's the same... I'd actually compare a bit of that United performance to the way Arsenal played.
Absolutely.
Because it was kind of like, okay, you see bright spots. You see where things can go together, but it's like... They need time to gel.
Just needed more time and more matches.
More matches and a little bit of sharpness, you know? And, you know, Rooney didn't do too much.
He's pretty quiet.
He was pretty quiet. I don't know
if that's the defensive job that Everton did or what. I guess I didn't really watch him close enough to see what was going on or if it was just a lack of service.
Yeah. And Van Persie looked a little bit isolated. He didn't get that many touches on the ball, really. He didn't get... really involved too much. He was out wide a bit.
He looked a bit like he did in Cologne.
Yeah.
When he came on
right
after 70 minutes in Cologne.
A little disjointed. Well, yeah, but to be perfectly honest, right? Like, when was the last time he played a match? Like, a fully competitive match was for Holland, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and he didn't even play in that last... Did he play or he played as a sub or something? He hasn't had, like, a full competitive match since the Euros, really, you know? And he didn't really get much of a preseason with Arsenal. Because he didn't play with them, so he's really got to get his feet. You know, he's got to get.
He could be dog-ass tired from the year he had, too, which I'm kind of hoping for.
Which, yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
So I'm sure he'll find... I mean, we know his class, and as far as on the field class.
Right.
He'll score.
Yeah, he'll score. But...
Not in this match.
But today, one of my predictions is already coming true. I'm telling you right now, Fernando Torres scored his first goal for Chelsea for the season today.
I was more on side than Fernando was today.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
It wasn't even close.
From here all the way in Southern California, you were more on side than Fernando Torres was at Stamford Bridge. But that's the way it goes, you know, like I'm not dwelling on it, you know, it's one of those decisions. It was quite poor by the linesman.
It was really bad.
And you got to feel for Reading. You got to feel for Reading because, yeah, you know, they were drawing that match, you know, good chance it could have stayed that way. I mean, you never know. You never know.
I mean, it was a draw at that point.
Right.
So
it was a draw at that point.
It weren't that far
away
from the end of
the match. Fourth goal happened once they pushed their keeper up, you know, for a corner. So what do you expect? And but Fernando has one, Van Persie zero, and I'm telling you, he's going to stay ahead of him all season.
So you think he's winning the Golden Boot this year?
And I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's more than Van Persie. Whether that means that he's...
I think you would have probably picked Agüero before...
Yeah,
as your top scorer. For
yeah,
the year.
I don't know. I don't even know who the fuck I would pick for top scorer.
That's who I would have picked.
Yeah.
Now that he's out for a month
or so,
6 weeks probably.
Yeah, I don't know who it would be. Who would be your? Who's your pick right now? Golden Boot for the season. Come on.
You know what? I assuming attitude. I'd pick Tevez.
Tevez.
Now that Aguero's out, at least for a little bit.
Not a bad shout. I mean, he's scored, you know, with the exception of last season.
He looks in good
shape,
better shape he's been for the last 2 years.
A lot of these players look in a lot better shape. There's a few of them that I noticed. Our favorite French See You Next Tuesday looks a lot more slim. Someone put him on a, I don't know what kind of diet, South Beach or some shit.
Whatever, exactly.
And so Sammy looks fit and trim.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, also looks like he's playing well.
He played well.
I know. And
he played well at the beginning of last season, though, too.
He did. Yeah, he had his moments last season. Hopefully, he does the same thing he did the season before for Arsenal and, you know, only lasts for a few months, then he peters out.
But he petered out for City last year,
too. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Silva and, ended up having,
Silva
a good 6 months,
thing,
too.
Right. As is somewhat typical for them. But a lot of these players come back looking fit. Like you were saying, you know, a couple of those guys in that Man City squad really look lean and mean, unfortunately. Well, no one's really afraid of Sammy, but Tevez, scary motherfucker. That is one scary bastard. I can't help but look at him and think of him like a spear chucker. I expect him like in the movie Apocalypto or something, like chasing you down. When he used to have that hair when he was at Manchester United, kind of wild man, he looked like a... Well, you know, they call him El Apache, you know, for a reason. You know, like, I heard that nickname after I'd already thought about that, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's fitting. I could see him running after you with, like, a spear and a loincloth.
So, just a question. Chelsea played today.
Right.
A midweek match. They got another – they have a something – is that next week? Something?
I think it's next weekend because they are playing this weekend. I thought they have the Super Cup. You know, so they have to play the winner of the Europa League next weekend, I believe.
Good. I like that fixture pile up.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to play a qualifier here in a couple of weeks, aren't they, for the Champions League?
Or No. Automatic qualification in the group stages for winning. Yeah. Mm. No qualifier.
No
they skipped
qualifier?
It because the qualifiers were going on already. Mm. So they got a little bit lucky.
Yeah.
A little bit lucky?
Yeah.
You saw that Champions League final. I'm done talking about that fucking match. But, yeah. One of those. So with that match, that puts Chelsea at the top of the table with two wins. We got fortunate.
Jesus Christ.
But it is what it is. I mean, you wouldn't see those fixtures and expect any less. You know, they have a little bit of a cake. I mean, look, you play Wigan on the first day of the season, which is
very true.
You don't expect too much, and then they're playing Reading. You know, and I think Reading will put up a decent showing most of the season in terms of putting up a good fight, but it's Reading. So anything less than 6 points, you would have thought they would have massively dropped points.
Yeah.
And so, with all that said, we now have a big weekend coming up. I don't know. My impressions from that first weekend, though, were just that everything was there were a lot of open games, a lot of goals, like we said, and I don't know. Like the complexion of the league is it's going to be interesting because there's definitely some new talent that's been added. Some exciting new players. Looks like a few more will be coming in as well. Like we saw Michu played so well for Swansea.
Swansea played.
Yeah.
I mean, they took QPR apart, but great finishing.
Right.
The passing was great. I guess they seem to – the system hasn't changed even though the manager has.
Yeah.
And even though they lost two pretty important players for them last year, they still – at least for the first match have just – kept going.
Yeah, and even today I was impressed with Pogrebniak's finish. That
was
header,
a great finish.
God damn, that was one hell of a header. That was from the top of the box.
Yeah,
it was perfectly redirected upper, you know, and that, so that was an impressive finish.
And then Cech had a bit of a
Cech had a bit of a howler. That was he looked like he did his best Rob Green impression on that second goal.
Sorry, the Reading keeper matched him on the other end.
Oh yeah.
For that with her equalizer.
Yeah, that was we've seen they both are gonna be willing to forget this day.
Looking at our match, anything? I know we kind of briefly touched on it, but anything that excited you or worried you at all?
I mean, it was good to see Cazorla's vision on the ball,
or Cazorla, depending on the
whatever. His movement was great. I really liked his link up with Giroud. I really think, actually, I would say I'd like to see Giroud. I mean, it's gonna be a case of it'll take some time, but I really see Giroud being the guy that plays up front in the middle. He seems a much more natural fit as a central striker, as opposed to Podolski. I think with Podolski, it's kind of similar to. I know he's played on his own up front before, but as I forget, I'm sorry to not credit the person. Someone was telling me, we've been watching a lot of Cologne last season, said they usually played with a strike partner last season. Not playing in the same formation that we're in.
Right.
And so, that being said, I don't know where he's most effective, whether he's most effective on the left or in the center, but I'd like to see a bit of those two playing together, whether that be, as things stand, you expect Podolski to continue to get the starts. I'd like to see instead of doing a like-for-like swap, you pull off, I know Gervinho was lively on Saturday with his 20 attempted dribbles, but, in a situation like that, you pull off, or Theo wasn't having a particularly great game.
Theo didn't have a good game.
And so, 60 minutes in, pull one of those two off and bring on Giroud and play them. You either switch up the formation a little bit and have them play kind of together in tandem, or you pull Podolski off to the left the way we saw them start in Cologne. With Giroud playing up top with Poldi on the left, and if he wants to tuck in a little bit as a second striker here and there, I can see that working kind of effectively. For me, that looks like it has more potential than Podolski on his own up front. It just seems that Giroud is the natural center forward, and so
size might have something to do with that.
Yeah, size, but it's also
on, he seemed to be pretty comfortable and was able to. He looked good for his first 20 minutes. I thought he looked good. He makes the chance, and then he looked great.
It's just, right, exactly. If he had scored that one, and he's had one chance, on his weaker foot, And the thing is that, actually, great. I remember watching some of his, seeing some of the highlights. He can score goals with his right foot. He doesn't have a weak right foot. It's just it's weaker than his left.
Right.
And so,
well, I fully expect his technique to get better.
Yeah. I'm curious as to whether or not he might start this weekend because we're playing the Neanderthals from the north.
I think he's got to start.
You think so?
Another week to get fit. I mean, seems we'd rather have
Have
him start and maybe work his way into the match than try to make him an impact at 70 minutes. But then
right. I really think that with the it's interesting because the way it seems that Arsene Wenger likes to do it, he likes to he never likes to pull someone out like with a new signing coming in, he doesn't want to. Like, it looks like with, say, Gervinho, he doesn't want to have him lose his starting spot without it, like, form affecting it. So as opposed to doing what he did in the first half in Cologne and playing Poldi, Giroud, and Theo, you know, he's letting Gervinho keep his starting spot for now, and we'll see how they play, and that'll eventually that might sort itself out by form. And it seems just one of those kind of things. And he wants to deflect, like saying that, oh, Podolski, you know, that maybe Giroud's not quite fit. That he wants to say that now, so he doesn't say that Podolski is the number one ahead of Giroud. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, oh, you know, like, I don't know, playing it safe without determining who is the real starter over someone else. He likes to deflect that by saying one person's fitness may be an issue. I think Giroud's perfectly fine in terms of his fitness. I'm sure the ladies would agree. But, I mean, he looks lively. I mean, like, for the 45 minutes we saw in Germany, he looked lively and full of energy. It doesn't seem like it's an issue of his fitness, really. And I hope to see a lot more from Poldi soon, you know. He's got most of all the attributes, and he seems like he's a little bit of a mean bastard, too, which is kind of good. I like that, like, that German mean streak in him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I was really excited, and it was great to watch them finally play, and for the talk to be about what was on the field, and to hear the crowd sing, and to just, you know, experience it again was great for me. I'm so happy that the league's returned.
Yeah, and I mean, you unfortunately missed out this week, but it was a great weekend at the pub. We had at least 100 gooners there. It was absolutely a madhouse. And the one shame was there was no goal to celebrate.
Right.
But, you know, looking forward, I mean, it's looking good. And I'm excited, man. Even without many more signings, I mean, I believe it's probably safe to say that the Nuri Sahin loan deal will be completed soon. It's like the third day running.
We'll know
fourth
when he puts
day,
the shirt on,
two,
right?
Yeah, right. I know. It's like, I don't want to talk about it, man. But it looks like it's about as wrapped up as it could be. And maybe by the time this is out, it'll be announced. Who knows? But it's going to be interesting to see how the midfield shapes up. But, I mean, I'm feeling good.
Wenger, I guess, mentioned about maybe a defender coming in.
Yeah, I would expect to see maybe like a defender that can play multiple positions. You know, someone that's a fullback / center back.
I would think so.
And if it's going to be one exclusively, I expect to see a fullback, not a center back. It would either be, I expect to see either a right back or a left back or a combination
center back.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we probably fullback. Need a right back more than we need a left back.
Yeah, but as long as our left back's not caught doing high speeds.
I'm not sure the sun is the number we should be quoting. I mean,
no,
I think I saw.
Let's not quote their numbers, but
130 is what I think the sun said.
That's what
everybody
they said.
Ran with it.
Right, of course they did. But he's
gotta stop reading the fucking sun, please.
Well, it had to be pretty quick if he got arrested, though. So who knows? Who knows what the real speed was? But it's a lot faster than running the pitch, that's for sure.
Yeah. too bad he can't use that car on the pitch.
I know, no shit. But it's all right. No, I feel all right at left back. Like we said, there's some weakness at right back, obviously, until Bakari's back fit, you know. It's just none of our deputizing options are really 100% convincing.
Yeah, I don't think so. And it's a little worrying, you know, he's broken that leg again,
yeah.
You know, and he's recovering, which is great. But
you don't want to rush it.
You don't want to rush it, and you got to be a little bit worried about will he be okay for the whole season?
Right. So fullback.
So if it's going to be a fullback, I hope it's someone who can play right back.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was watching some. Commentary or some roundup after these matches, and I believe you were watching Press Pass, weren't you? You were watching some of the ESPN's. Flagship.
I was watching Press Pass, and I enjoy some of the pundits on there. But Tommy Smith, I know it's his job to wind people up, but man, he wound me up really good the other day. It's just he was responding to a comment about
why do you listen to that old wrinkly onion bag?
He was on, and I was trapped under something heavy, and my leg was broken and I couldn't get up to find the channel changer. But
so until you
he wound me up pretty good, and it was a comment about how when Arsenal draws, it's crisis, but Manchester United loses and it's no problem. You know, and he was just like, I think his comment was something like, well, if you don't see the difference in that, then you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. And he's always got to say, I don't know, but after every comment. And to me, it's like, well, then if you don't know, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I got an idea, Tommy. fuck on back to Ireland.
Fuck you, Tommy.
Oh, God.
So he wound me up. I tried to let it go, but hopefully now I can heal myself and move on.
Hopefully. Well, thankfully, at least Janusz, you know, does a good job on there, and Shaka's not too bad. But, yeah, that guy. The day that he's off, the day that he retires, gets fired, gets fucking... I won't say anything mean. Anything else mean about him. But I will fucking be elated. I will jump for joy. I'll buy a round of beers. I don't know. But it'll be exciting. But yeah, so the weekend ahead. The only other thing I was going to talk about. I mean, I watched a little bit of the Spanish league this weekend. It was definitely entertaining. I watched a little bit on Saturday, a little bit on Sunday. Sunday was a big triple header on BN Sports, which most of you who will be listening probably don't have.
So, I don't.
Yeah,
I watched a stream.
You watched a stream? A legal stream? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. No.
It's in the eye of the viewer, I guess.
Of course. I watched Madrid. I watched Barcelona.
I watched the Madrid match.
I watched Atletico. Yeah, they were. It was good. It was all exciting. It's good to see it back. You know, just a quick comment on that. I mean, the Madrid match, really, they just didn't look sharp. They didn't look sharp. They looked like they're still in preseason form. And I don't know. Valencia gave them a good.
Valencia's a good team. Yeah,
Valencia's
too.
A good team. No, that's you know, it's a great result for Valencia, you know, getting a point. You know, and Madrid just didn't look that sharp. Ronaldo didn't have his best match, but in direct contrast to that, a much weakened Barcelona side took on
Sociedad, didn't they?
Yeah, it took on Real Sociedad.
Did Vela play?
Vela came on as a sub later. You know, once the game was over.
Weird. Some things never change.
Yeah. And, but fuck, man, Messi was on fire. Just all over the place. You know, and they played a weakened lineup a little bit. You know, like I said, there was, I think, Teo and Pedro starting on the flanks with Seskin behind. I believe it was like Xavi and Busquets. And yeah, it was everything you'd expect from them. And Messi looked sharp as ever. Just on fire, creating chances and firing in the goals. And so, which leads, I mean, tomorrow, or will be today for those listening, is the first leg of the Spanish Super Cup. So we're going to see our first Clásico of the season. You know, and so...
Will they have their new midfielder playing?
Their new midfielder? Oh, I don't know about that guy. Wait, Cheeto Head? Oh, my God. You know, I just realized he will... I've called him since he's had that hairstyle that he has, Mr. Alex Dimitri Song Belong. I call him Cheeto Head or Chester Cheetah. And that away kit is perfect for it. The fucking bright orange and yellow. It's going to fit perfectly with his hair. No wonder
looks
he
like
went.
The bag.
He must have known that this was the season. It was a sign. He was like
that's right. They do have that.
He was like, God, give me a sign that I should go to Barcelona.
And they came out with the Cheeto kit.
And then the Cheeto kit came out. My God, we're going to have to do some Photoshop.
That's a great point. I saw that kit, and I didn't even think Cheeto, but now I'll never stop.
It all makes sense.
I don't think I can buy a bag of Cheetos now.
I fucking love Cheetos, too. They're horrible, but they're like crack. I don't know. But yeah, no, Alex, I believe he'll be unveiled. He'll be there. He'll be getting used to – he'll have to get comfortable on that bench. It's funny because it's just – I don't know. Like, it's one of those moves that you don't – Oh, it's ambition, right? You moved to Barcelona. Okay. Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll work out. Maybe he'll get playing time. I don't know.
I mean,
he's a good player. But
he was gonna be. He's one of the first on the team sheet at our club.
He was.
And it's not gonna be the case there.
No. I mean, they even say it coming out. No. We need cover for Busquets. He can't play every game. What does that mean?
League Cup games.
Yeah, have fun in the Copa del Rey. Coming on for 15 minutes at the end. I mean, basically, he's replacing Keita. That's what they said. That's exactly what they said it was. And so, you know, have fun with that.
He got a raise.
Whatever. Billy Big Boots, Chester Cheetah.
Too bad his agent didn't get him a better contract 2 years ago that he wouldn't have to worry about renegotiating now. But
yeah, well, sucks for him. I'm not too worried about
it. With the players that seem to leave, you know, we regard them, you know, especially a player that was with us so long.
Right.
You know, we've endured those up and downs with Song, you know, I remember when he came back from loan from Charlton and he just looked like a big lumbering dude.
Yeah.
But just, you know, he just was so raw, and you know, he's grown and he has faults, but he did some things were great for us.
Well, he was a vital cog in our team, and now he's left for where he's going to
go somewhere where he's going to be a player. He's not going to be revered.
No, I don't know. And he might, who knows, if he carries some of that attitude with him, it might not work out for him. Have fun, you know, Alex Hleb, Song. You know, but so be it. But we do get our first taste of the Clásico mañana. So I will be anticipating that. We'll see if it turns into a bitch fest as it has in the past, if the red cards start flying or if we actually see some good football.
I think 2 years ago it seemed to be worse as far as those teams at it than it did last year. Yeah. I mean, it's always going to be
Two seasons ago was terrible. That's when they went through all those matches and then just it was a bunch of bullshit. It was a bunch of diving and crying and bullshit on both sides. So hopefully that's a little bit past. And I think Madrid are poised to do something. So we'll see how it works out. It'll be exciting. But other than that, we got the rest of the leagues kick off. The Bundesliga starts on Friday. I know Dortmund play on Friday. And so we've got that, and the Italian league's kicking off soon, right? Is that this weekend or is that the week after?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Soon. One of those days. But it's been good. Well, anyways, thank you for joining me, Joseph. We'll be back next week with another Pintcast for you. You can follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club on Twitter. And you can follow me at Morning Pint, which I suppose you do if you're listening to this. So anyways, thanks for listening.